I'd like to thank the worship team. There was three new songs in the beginning of the service, I believe, and they were all seem so familiar now because there's so much truth and joy in them. Just want to say good morning to all of you. And we are starting the book of Genesis today, so I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, page 939 in those little black pew Bibles, if you don't have your own. I'm excited today. I'm very excited. I'm always excited when, by God's grace, He calls me to preach His Word, but I'm more so excited that, I'm kind of excited that Dave's going to be gone 10 weeks and I get 5 or 6 opportunities, but that's just a little bit of my excitement. Well, maybe more than that. But I'm excited to be in Genesis. For 10 weeks, we're going to open up Genesis to you, Lord willing. And I'm up this week, and then Pastor Robin is up next week, and then Adam is up the third week, and we'll go from there. I'm excited because Genesis is where everything begins. Genesis is where God creates Adam and Eve, and they meet God. Genesis is where the glory of God is revealed in His creation. The glory of God which radiates through His creation. His creation is everywhere in this world, this created existence. And anybody that has ever walked the face of this planet or will walk the face of this planet, God is revealing His glory to them through His creation. And they know there is a God. God's revealed glory is on display for us in His creation. That is exactly what Paul explains in Romans chapter 1. Look at it with me. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. It's the Word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. What truth is it that they suppress? Verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. What can be known about God is plain to us. Why? Because God has shown it to us, has revealed it to us in His creation. My dad was not a religious man, but I can remember we were up in Cedar River from West Dallas, and we were sitting outside at the campfire, and we didn't have much on the property at that time. It was a little black trailer. We didn't have any electric or running water, and we won't talk about the shed for the bathroom, but we were sitting outside, and it was pitch black out. It was pitch black, and there were so many stars, and we were looking up at the stars, and my dad said to me some simple words. He said, "You know, you can't look up there and not believe there's a God." My dad's words not only had a profound effect on me, but they nailed verse 20 on its head and nailed it hard. And not only verse 20 here, but Psalm 19:1, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God and His handiwork. The sky above is His handiwork." We cannot look to heaven and not see the glory of God. Creation is where we first see and have knowledge of God. And it is the first way we see and live in His revealed glory. Creation carries with it. Embodied in creation is the simple, deep truth that there is a Creator and that He has eternal power and divine nature. Come back to this verse later today and read the rest of this passage, because God holds us accountable for this knowledge that we all have. But for now, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Who can get there first? Well, you know where it is? Should be page number 1 in every Bible. I was a little over 30 years old when I met God in Genesis. And I had never been to a worship service in a church in my life. I certainly didn't know much about God. But because of the influence of a couple of friends I had who brought witness of God to me, God began to give me a desire to know more about Him. So I bought a Bible on the way home from work one day. And I went to bed that evening and I thought, where do I start? And if you know me, I always tend to start at the beginning. It seems to be the best place. So I opened up the Genesis 1. And along with the desire I had to see what this book was about, I brought all 30 years of life experiences with me. I brought Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Linus's explanation of the gospel, the Easter Bunny, the Ten Commandments with Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston, and I also brought the words of my father along. You can't look up there and not believe there's a God. All of my life's experiences, all of the things I thought might be true, all of my assumptions came along with me into Genesis. And it is in the Bible. It is in Genesis, in the truth of a creator that is eternally powerful and divine in his nature, I met the one true God. Let's pray together. Father, we are gathering together right now and opening up your sacred word to chapter 1, verse 1. And through this time together, Father, as we cover your truth of creation, I pray that each heart here would be affected by it, Father. That your Spirit would encourage those of us who know you. Your Spirit would awaken those of us who know you are in slumber walking along us through this world. And that your Spirit would awaken hearts that don't know you to reveal to you that you indeed are God. And that you would then convict them of not thanking you and honoring you as God, as Creator. And that you would show them the beauty and magnificence of Christ. So I pray, Father, that through your word, the power of your Spirit, that much fruit would be had today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read through Genesis 1:1 through chapter 2, verse 3. This is the very word of our God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And on the earth," and it was so good. It was good. And it was so good. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which their seed is their seed, each according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant food for food. And so it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done and rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. Okay. I love God. I love God for a lot of reasons, but I'm a simpleton, and I love God because he keeps simple things simple. God is creator of all things. God creates all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. God is God. Our creator has eternal power, and he is divine. It is that simple, and it is that true. Certainly there are nuances in here and there are details in here, but our focus today will be on this simple reality of the revelation of God in creation. His eternal power and his divine nature are revealed to us in his word, which is creation, right? God speaks, and his speaking is creation. So revealed in his word, and we see it in creation. God says it. And it is so. Eternal power and divine nature. Eternal. What's eternal? Eternal is without beginning or without end. Eternal means self-existent. It is God. Eternal power. All that is made from nothing by a self-existent entity, to be eternal and self-existent and create from nothing. To create something from nothing has to be divine, has to be God. Only God can create something from nothing. We're going to look at three aspects of our God's attributes in his creation. First thing we're going to look at is his power. God's power is clearly perceived in creation and in Genesis 1. We're going to look at God's order. He takes chaos and he turns it into order. He takes nothing and turns it into order. And then we're going to look at God's goodness. God's goodness. God is good. So first, God's power. And let's just start with this truth. How many days did God take to create the heaven and the earth and all the hosts in them? Six. How could God be any clearer than he is here? Look at verse 3 with me. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Evening and morning, the first day, 24 hours. Now, this may help a little bit. The Jewish concept of a day was that it started in the evening and it ended in the morning. So that's why he says in the evening and the morning, the first day. God clearly states 6 24-hour days in creation. Verse 5. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Verse 8, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Verse 13, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. Verse 19, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. Verse 23, and there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. Verse 31, and there was evening and morning then the sixth day. Chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. It was done. 6 24-hour days. Everything we see, everything we smell, everything we taste, everything we hear, everything in our body, everything on our body, everything around our body, everything in Wallace, everything in this county, everything in this country, everything on the face of this planet, from the deepest part of the oceans to the highest heavens, God created in 6 days. God's power. He created it in 6 days. God's power, he says it, and it is so. God speaks, and it exists. It is his word that creates. Over and over again in our passage, God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so, over and over. I want to look a little bit at his power here. I want to look at an example of his power in verse 6. And God said, "Let there be an expanse." Now, I started in the King James Version back 30 years ago or 25 years ago, and it said firmament in there. So some of your translations may say firmament. And what is that? What's a firmament? Well, it's an expanse, okay? But we'll see in a moment what it is. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, watch now, and let it, the expanse or the firmament, separate the waters from waters. So an expanse or a firmament is just separator. That's all it is. Just space. I don't know why King James didn't say space. Verse 7, and God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. So God made water separate. And now there's water above, there's the firmament, heaven, he called it, and water below. There's great power in doing what God did in the second day. But watch now what he does in the third day. Verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters were gathered together. He called seas, and God saw that it was good. All there was at this point was water above, an expanse, heaven, and water below. The water below was covered by land. It was all water. And God speaks, and the water gathers together, and dry land appears, and it was so, and earth and sea now exist. Imagine the power it took to accomplish this. An earth surrounded by water and forming the earth, popping up continents or however it worked, and gathering all the water together. Mighty power of God. Eternal power, divine nature. God alone did this. So God's power, he created it all in 6 days. God's power, he says it, and it is so. Second, we want to look at God's order. From chaos to creation, God changes chaos into order. Okay, verse 1. And what great words verse 1 is. Right? To answer every human being's question on how it all began. How did it all begin? 1:1. Thank you, God, for the simple answer found right here where it belongs, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let's see what it was like before God's 6 days of creation, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It's a waste. It's a void. It's nothingness. It's total chaos. And God goes to work and creates day and night. God separates the waters and makes dry land like we just saw in verse 10. Look what happens next in day 3 in verse 11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. Plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, according to its kind on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to its own kind, and the trees bearing fruit which is in their seed, each according to its own kind. There is order. Life is set in motion. Vegetation is created, and the seed to grow more of itself is within itself. Things are growing now. Things are in order. Look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. What was once total chaos and void and dark, now it has light and land and sea and is reproducing life in order. From chaos comes order. This is the mighty, eternal God, creator of the universe. Our holy God did this. Brothers and sisters, the chicken came first. The chicken was brought forth from the earth by God with the seed in itself. So we looked at the power of God. We looked at God's order. Lastly, I want to look at God's goodness. God's goodness. And let's start with the seventh day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. God rested. God was not tired. God rested. And that simply means he stopped doing what he was doing. He desisted from his work. And then God made this day holy. He sanctified. He set it apart. And not only did he set it apart and make it holy, he blessed this day. This is the day in which the Jews will later observe as the Sabbath. This is the goodness of our God to have his people rest one day a week. God blessed this day. God's goodness in the sense of what it is created for, it will serve its purpose well. What it is created for, it will serve its purpose well. It is good for the whole of creation, what he created. It is good, not bad. It will not hinder his creation in any way. It is good. Everything he created comes together and is good and will serve its purpose. Verse 4, God saw the light was good. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which there was their seed, each according to its own kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 16, and God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and so God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind, and God saw it was good. And after creating the beasts and the livestock and man in the image of God on the sixth day, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Verse 1 of chapter 2 again. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Is it important for humans to have one day out of the week to rest? It is absolutely, absolutely important to have a day. For most of us Christians, it's today, it's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. But there are many people who have jobs and they work on the Lord's Day, so they need to find another day. It's important. The reality is that God has blessed this day. He has blessed it, and he has made it holy for a reason. We need to rest. We need to desist from what we're doing in our normal routines. Here's one for you. We need to smell the roses, right? Well, I don't know about that. They're pretty expensive. They don't really smell like roses anymore. Besides that, I can look on Pinterest and see them all, and I could probably go on Facebook and I could find roses. And you know, there's probably an angry rose thorn game I could play or something. Who noticed what God was doing when he declared creation good? What was he doing? He was looking at it. He saw that it was good. He was looking at what he had done, and he saw that it was good. So do we, brothers and sisters. We need to see God's creation. We need to see it. We need to open our minds and we need to open our hearts and we need to see the glory of God that is all around us and meditate on the Creator. The goodness of creation, the beauty of creation, the power of creation, the glory of the one who created it. So fast. So fast. This life we live in just always seems to spin out of control. We are running here and we are running there and we are doing this and we are doing that and it never seems to end. The other day I was sitting out on our deck and there was things flying out of the tree and I could see they were landing on my car and I'm thinking, what a mess. And then one fell right next to me on the table I was sitting by, and I pick it up, and I look at it, and it's about this big. And I looked at the bottom of it. It was like just a little woven basket. I don't know what God wove it out of, but something in his creation. And then out of that little basket, there was these little stems coming up. And on top of the little stems, there was like flower tops, like some kind of fuzzy stuff. It was a picture of a regular flower basket. And I saw it. And I looked at it. And at the same time I was doing this, my golden retriever, who's almost 14, was out there with me, and one of her favorite things to do is to take her tennis ball, and she'll lay on her back, and the ball will be behind, and she'll start wiggling, like trying to become one with the ball. And she wiggles, and she wiggles so much she slides down the hill with the ball. She does this all the time. I saw that. I saw that. And I know Ginger doesn't have much time left, but I thanked God for her. I thank God for that little flower. I saw God's radiated holiness in his creation, and I was moved. If we look, we can see his eternal power and his divine nature. And he wants us to see. Brothers and sisters, get this. He wants us to see him and know him and experience him in his creation. And he wants us to honor him and thank him for it. God rested. And he blessed and made holy the seventh day. What are you doing on that day? Are you experiencing God? By God's grace, I've been a believer and God's child for, I don't know, 25 years or so. And I decided on a mantra pretty many number of years ago that, unfortunately, I have to keep reminding myself of still. And if I could go back when I was first born again, when I first believed on Christ and was saved, I would tell myself this. So young people, hear this well. All I could hear then, and still sometimes now, are all the do's and the don'ts. Do this, do this, don't do that. Do this, do this, don't do that. You hear Scripture and you do Scripture. Pursuing after holiness is important. Don't get me wrong. It is extremely important that we do that. But here's the thing to keep before us at all times. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey with our Creator. We are secure in Christ. Nothing can ever take us away from our Father. Forever we will be with God, the person or the God that created everything. Nothing can ever change our destiny. Enjoy this journey. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares so much for his creation that we have a recorded word of what actually happened on those 6 days and the seventh day. I thank you that we can look to it and see you in it. And Father, I pray for those that are unable to see your eternal power and your divine nature in creation. Father, I pray for each of those people now that you would soften their hardened hearts. And that they may see you. Father, and they may see the that through the years they have not thanked you or given you the honor that you deserve as Creator. And I pray that they would confess those sins to you, and they would repent of them, and they would turn to Jesus and what he did on the cross for them and be saved. For those of us, Father, who know you and walk with you, I pray that our walk would be deeper in the sense of joy and peace, knowing that you are the one that created everything. You are the one that controls everything, and you love us deeply. So I pray that we would be encouraged through this, Father, and our lives would be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen.